Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The most important position in sports, it's a sensitive topic around here, the quarterback. Thought we had one. He gone. He in Cleveland. And now the attention is on Davis Mills. Landry Locker, Brandon Scott in for John Lopez, Figgy Fig holding it down, being the best in the world at what he do. And the uncertainty about the quarterback position continues for the Houston Texans. Davis Mills, he's going to get a chance to prove that he is the guy long term. Some are skeptical. Some believe that the Texans will have a new quarterback this time next season. Others are optimistic that Davis Mills can take the torch from Deshaun Watson and he can be the guy to be the face of the rebuild for Nick Caserio. Chris Sims put out of NBC Sports, Chris Sims put out a list of his top quarterbacks. It's the top 40, and Davis Mills was number 35 on the list, which if you actually do the exercise, yesterday J-Lo had Mills at 30. So he had him five spots up. Yeah. But naturally, because fans are passionate and because I think we're starving so much for a quarterback in this city, people looked at Chris Sims' list.
Chris Mills, man. You keep saying Chris Mills.
Shout out to number 42, Chris Mills.
Well, because it's Chris Sims, Davis Mills, and then there is a Chris Mills. How it's happening.
Shout out to Chris Mills. To him. But 35 had a lot of people up in arms because of the headline. And I think this is very similar to Jimbo Fisher's reaction to Nick Saban and really reactions as a whole. You look at the headline, you react. We got texts from Loopholes. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Chris Sims doesn't know crap about quarterbacks. What does he know? He's an idiot, blah, blah, blah. But when you click on the actual breakdown, the 10-minute breakdown of Davis Mills, what many people reacted to as slander from Chris Sims was actually, up to this point, I can only speak for myself, the most in-depth breakdown of Davis Mills that I've heard, and the biggest reason for optimism that I've heard in regards to Davis Mills potentially being the guy, not just this year, but moving forward.
Like Joe Burrow did last year to throw the ball harder and stronger, Davis Mills can fix a few mechanics in his game to allow him to throw the ball a little more explosively too. His motion can get too long. I think it was one of the more pleasant surprises when I turned on the film.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to maybe even put him here. I wasn't sure where he was going to go. A few moments of playing good here and there, but then of course struggled too.
Yeah.
And it's, hey, he's a rookie and he was on not a very good team that couldn't run the ball.
That's the setup right there.
But so to be fair to everyone, who overreacted, though, I just want to say.
Okay, here we go.
32 teams, he's the starter on one of them, so the math wasn't mathing for people on the rankings. And you can question some of the ones that are ranked ahead of Mills, but that's just getting into the semantics of the rankings. I agree. This evaluation is not indicative of, hey, Davis Mills sucks. It's actually the opposite.
You're going to love this. 713-572-4610. Text line already blowing up. People got strong takes on Chris Sims and Davis Mills. Here's the breakdown of the positive that Chris Sims saw when he broke down Davis Mills. Here's the positive breakdown courtesy of NBC Sports.
He came back a different player.
Stats say it.
The stats say it. The film says it. He came back more confident and sure of himself. He's got some ability in his game more than I gave him credit for. 4, I think, coming out of Stanford, and maybe more than I gave him credit even at the end of the season last year.
Yeah.
So when I did turn him back on, hey, the first thing is he knows how to play in the pocket. Yes, he understands going through reads. He can read a defense, make the appropriate decision. So that gives him a great start there. He is good in the pocket. I mean, he plays big in the pocket, and probably the number one shocking thing to me. Pocket presence, and even the ability to get out of the pocket and do, right. It's not going to, you're not going to go, oh my gosh, wow. If the pocket collapses or there's trouble, he's a good enough athlete to get out, run for a few yards, 5-10 yards, or, you know, make a throw on the run. He's not a thrower. He's a passer. He's more about timing and rhythm and anticipation and, oh, wait, I've repped this a lot, and in this coverage, I got to throw this appropriate type.
There you go. So that's the breakdown of the positive when he came back. The marbles, though, the coconuts, the toughness, the intangibles, that's where you really start to realize that Chris Sims dove deep into this. This is a breakdown of Davis Mills, for lack of a better term, balls and toughness, along with the talent that we already know that he possesses.
It's not huge talent, but it's good talent. His ability to play the position is pretty advanced for the age that he's at right now.
Yeah.
Doesn't care
very
about getting
nice.
Hit, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He will get hit in the big chest dude. And make throws. You know, oh, we got a 5-yard completion. Great. There was a 20-yard completion to be had. It's the NFL. It's hard to move the ball. I got to hit it. And he did do that. Yeah, early in the year, I think he was a little gun shy. He's not sure what he's seeing. He got out of, let me just be quarterback completion percentage.
Yeah.
And he started making plays and dictating the game himself with his own play at the end of the year and pushing the envelope a little bit. And yes, making throws down the field. Ooh, that's going to be a tight one. Oh, we got it in there. I mean, there was a lot of those moments. He is pretty natural at playing the position. And I think when you add that to the size of the ability to look down the field, subtle movement in the pocket and everything there, he does have great touch. And his arm is good enough to make all the throws. It's never going to be a wow arm, but it's a good arm.
Yeah, I love it. This is the most thorough and specific breakdown on Davis Mills. Some of those things that he mentioned, we've heard from like opposing players, even when he wasn't playing well.
Against Carolina.
Carolina.
I remember.
Was it Hassan Reddick?
Shaq. I think it was Shaq.
Yeah. Whoever it was.
Shaq
I think it,
Thompson.
There you go. But it was Adam Spillane who actually got it. I was saying the most impressive thing about him was his toughness, and he was kind of staying in there and alive in the pocket. Like, we've heard a little bit of this, but this is probably the most comprehensive of a breakdown that we've heard. So you gotta be optimistic about that type of evaluation of the quarterback, especially when you're really only talking about 4 games, 5 games. Good games, yeah. The comeback that he's talking about, like, let's be honest. It's the Seattle game. It's Jacksonville. It's the Chargers win, which was probably the highlight of the season. And then it's really the last game against Tennessee. There's that San Francisco game sandwiched in between there.
I thought he was best in the first half against New England.
That's probably fair.
First half against New England, the fourth down pass to Moore and the big lead that they jumped off to. I thought he was best against New England first half.
I thought he was best. That showed, I thought, his the most potential. I thought he was most probably like consistent that first half against Seattle. Like, they weren't all like exceptionally difficult passes, but he completed like his first 13 or 14 passes. Like, that's when it was like, okay, there might be something there, especially coming off like that horrible, you know, kind of getting thrown in there in Indianapolis or at home against Indianapolis the week before. So, yeah, I mean, between that game and probably the worst example of the Texans last year was not winning that game, wasted a really good Davis Mills performance and a good overall team performance because of coaching. Yeah, I mean, there's some things to like about Davis Mills for sure.
Here's Chris Sims, NBC Sports. That's a hell of an endorsement, a hell of a breakdown. That's a tangible breakdown with no buzzwords, no cliches. Like, that's a guy who actually, I think, watched the tape.
And can
like,
we
this
all-
isn't just like someone on NFL Live, you know, just throwing out buzzwords and stuff like that. Like, that's actual. He watched Davis Mills, you can tell.
And can we also not do this thing that I'm seeing on the text line about Chris Sims wasn't a good enough quarterback? Like, Chris Sims is good enough at evaluating tape to evaluate Davis Mills. Let's not do the thing of this quarterback wasn't good enough, because we listen to probably lesser quarterbacks than Chris Sims evaluate
Daniel
guys.
Rolinski,
yeah, I'm saying.
That, yeah.
And we go with it. So let's not do that.
And especially when he's saying this type of thing. So it kind of works both ways. I trust Chris Sims' assessment of quarterbacks. Now, is rolling the dice with Davis Mills, is it worth it? Should the Texans have, you know, maybe traded for Jimmy Garoppolo, traded for Baker Mayfield, maybe looked at a rookie quarterback? Like, was it worth it? Here's Chris Sims, NBC Sports, breaking that down.
I know he's a nerd and he works hard and he's all that. Into the craft. And, and again, me knowing the guy, the jumps that guys make from year one to year two, I can understand why they want to go with him. You know, Nick Caserio's looking at it like he might have hit the diamond in the rough. And I think he deserves that shot. And I think, you know, he's another guy. He can definitely be above this next year. There's no doubt.
The timing of this just worked out perfectly, too, for the Texans, though.
Because there was no quarterback.
There was no quarterback. Yeah. Your quarterback actually just happens to be better than all of the other quarterback prospects. You get a whole nother year of experimentation, and then you see what it looked like the next year. Perfect timing.
But will they be looking for a quarterback next year? This is the money shot from Chris Sims. And this, I don't know why this wasn't the headline instead of, you know, he's 35th on the list. This is where you really realize, like, the arrow is pointing up for Davis Mills, according to Chris Sims, and he believes this time next year we'll be talking about Davis Mills as the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans for the second straight year.
I think there is enough around him. I do. Yeah, I'm not sold that he's definitely the future yet. You know, their offensive line, it's not bad. Running back, got one of my favorites in Damian Pierce this year. But after I studied it a little bit, I went, my heart of heart, kind of my gut kind of said, I think he's going to be the quarterback for maybe more than just the year.
Yeah.
Or at least a few more. And we'll see where it goes from there. Yeah.
All right, there you go. So Chris Sims is buying Davis Mills stock. He believes Davis Mills will be the starter for the Houston Texans next year, believes we won't be talking about 35. He's going to climb up this list.
Yeah, and look, it's fair to have him low just because of the small sample size of what was good. Like, he's even 35 just based off of potential. He actually shows it and produces for an extended period of time. No reason why he can't shoot up the list. The thing I'm worried about is question y'all posed earlier in the week. Like, what if he's just marginal Pro Bowl caliber? You know, what if he's Mac Jones? And then, like, do you kid yourself into or talk yourself out of going to go get that quarterback? Can you hedge your bet and keep Davis Mills, keep that thing rolling, but still go get a quarterback high, maybe let him sit? Like, I'm interested to see how that plays out if he's not, like, excellent and he's just all right.
You're not striving to try to get Mac Jones. Like, you're not striving to get a Pro Bowl alternate.
Exactly.
You're striving to get elite. Like, that's what you're doing. Exactly. Alex Smith was a Pro Bowl quarterback. I thought Show brought this up the other day, and I thought it was a hell of a comparison. Like, Alex Smith made a Pro Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs, but they drafted Patrick Mahomes. They let him sit, and he figured it out.
Right.
So you're not striving for that. My thing is, though, if we are having this discussion about Davis Mills next year, and he has a Mac Jones type of year, which is starting from beginning to end and at least being one of the top 12 quarterbacks in the league or whatever, that would mean that there was substantial improvement. Like, that would at least mean that he's going up. He's not going down. He's going up if we're even having that discussion. So unless you think Young or Stroud is the next best thing, and those guys could easily flop out, maybe you do just keep going with Davis Mills. Maybe you do draft a guy like a Will Anderson or something like that and continue the process, because if we're even having that discussion, no, that's not the end-all be-all. No, I don't think Mac Jones is ever going to win a Super Bowl playing like he did last year. That's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Right now, I still think that you're, like, deciding whether you go and get C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young if he's available to you at the draft still needs to be independent of Davis Mills. Like, unless he is, like, he's going to have to be better than that for me. Better, way better than Mac Jones for you to just not even consider C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young. Like, the only way you don't do it is if you just legit don't believe in one of those guys, or you like Will Anderson, if that's the play. You like him so much better and don't believe in one of those quarterbacks. But it shouldn't be, hey, because we've got Davis Mills, we're not going to draft this other guy. I would much rather they hedge the bet, keep Davis Mills, roll with him for however long you feel like you need to until that next guy is ready. Or if he just straight up outplays that guy and you still will have hedged your bet. Like, maybe that guy's tradable. Maybe Davis Mills plays out for a couple of years and then that guy's finally ready. But I'd much rather hedge the bet and not pass on that other guy if I really believe in him. Not for Davis Mills.
The biggest concern I have for Davis Mills this year is, and the Texans say they need to do this, is the ability to run the ball or lack thereof. Like, if you just look at the top 10 rushing teams in the NFL last year, we'll just look at the top 10. 7 out of 10 made the postseason. Only the Indianapolis Colts, who should have made the playoffs, they completely melted down. Baltimore Ravens, they had an array of injuries, including quarterback, and Cleveland Browns, same thing. They had a quarterback playing with one shoulder. Those are the only three teams that were top 10 in the league in rushing that didn't make the postseason. Only those.
Well, and when your quarterback is good and not elite, which I think is what we're talking about with Davis Mills right now, like, he's got a lot to show to be in that elite category. If he's good and not elite, you need a running game.
And exactly. And I think the top rushing team in the NFL last year is a prime example, the Philadelphia Eagles.
There you go.
I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles made the postseason last year because they were able to run the ball. Texans can say they want to run the ball. They don't pay enough attention to the running back position to convince me that they're going to be able to do that effectively.
Hey.
And that's my biggest concern. And I'm going to keep saying this until the cows come home. Like, they do not take the running back position serious enough to be able to run the ball at the level that you need to get the most out of your quarterback. You just talked about, like, you don't have an elite quarterback, so you need to run the ball. Let me just look at some of these top 10 teams. Philadelphia, they were first in the league in rushing. Tennessee was fifth. They didn't even have Derrick Henry, and they were still running the ball. Jimmy Garoppolo.
There you go.
They were right there. And then the New England Patriots with Mac Jones. They were right there.
It's so necessity.
If you're going to max out like a quarterback like Davis Mills and the caliber he's at, you got to be able to run the ball. And if you don't pay attention to the running back position and you're trying to roll the dice with Rex Burkhead and a guy coming off a torn Achilles that was the third best back on his team, I don't know that you're putting him in the best position to succeed. I hope eventually they take it serious. And hell, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm proven wrong. But I just look at the running back position, and I think there's this like assumption that, oh, it starts up front. Sure, it starts up front, but you also got to take the running back position serious. All these teams did, and all these teams, there's a reason that they were in the top 10. There's a reason that 7 out of the 10 made the playoffs, including the Philadelphia Eagles, who were in a similar situation with Jalen Hurts last year as the Texans are with Davis Mills in 2022.
It's wild enough, Landry and Figgy, that Rex Burkhead ended up becoming their best running back on the team. But notice how toward the end of the season, like, once they kind of established him as the guy, as weird as that is, I know, as weird as it is that Rex Burkhead was the guy, like, Davis Mills also got better. Like, I know that had to do with timing and development and all of that, but once his running game got a little bit more consistent, you saw a little bit better of a Davis Mills. Like, I think those things aren't a coincidence. But did you see Drew Doherty's question and answering with some fans when they asked him about who's going to be the starting running back? And I know it's Drew, got to be diplomatic on the team website.
Let me guess, he said Burkhead?
He named everybody. Like, his final sentence, he gives you the reason why everybody, right?
Oh, God.
And then at the end, he goes, at various points throughout the year, depending on who's hot or the defensive matchup, I could see each of them getting starts.
It's not good enough to be a committee. Like, these guys aren't right. Good. Like, you can have a running back committee, but this is not good enough. This is not a good enough array of running backs to be a committee.
And I'm pointing that out because I think that Drew is spot on there. Like, unfortunately.
No, he's right.
Yeah.
But
that's not good.
It's not good enough.
It's not good.
And it's not putting Davis Mills in position to succeed. A lot of encouraging words from Chris Sims. They're going to have to run the ball. New England was top 10 last year with Mac Jones. Tennessee, even without Derrick Henry, was up there. And the Philadelphia Eagles were number one in the league. I'm concerned about this running back group. That could be the weakness of this team, and it could be a very, very, very big problem for Davis Mills. Coming up, college football versus pro football. College football is at the top of the headline page. Is it gaining ground on the NFL? We'll discuss the pros and cons next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.